Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our first group coaching call here at B2B Business Launcher 2.0. It's great to be here with you guys, and I'm excited to get started with this group. We got a fantastic group so far here, and see that many of you are already on. I want to start with some housekeeping items, and then we'll open it up for live Q&A. The first thing that I wanted to point out is that everyone is on mute. So I find that it's better to have these calls with everyone automatically coming in on mute just because even when you have two, three, four people, the background noise can be very distracting, you know, from typing or a dog barking in the background. It's just easier to have everyone on mute. However, I want to make this very interactive. I've been in a lot of other coaching programs, training programs, where it's not interactive at all, and you can only communicate with the coach by typing in a chat box, and you know, then he or she doesn't understand what you mean, and they got it wrong, and so they're going on about something else that's not relevant to you, and it's just really frustrating to try to have dialogue. I do not want that. I want this to be like we're in a room working together, and we're having a real conversation. So what will happen, and I'll remind you of this during the calls, if you want to ask me something, you want to discuss an issue, get feedback, you want to basically come in the call, hit star 2 on your telephone keypad. So star 2 will raise your hand. I will see that in my dashboard here, and I'll go ahead and unmute you, and we can have a conversation. Now, related to that, if you're listening to me through your computer speakers, you're in what we call the webcast portion or the webcast mode, and that means that the only way you can communicate with me is through chat. I encourage everyone to use the phone, or there's another feature, and I forget, this is kind of a new thing with this service. It's a web call, I believe, is the option, and that allows you to – it acts like a phone in that you can still raise your hand, I can unmute you, and we can have a conversation. But if you have to use a webcast, like for instance, you're at work, so you can't really dial in, and you know you just want to listen through earbuds, something like that, then that's okay. Then just type in your question, and I'll see and I'll read it out loud. So these sessions are really to ask any questions you might have, to get feedback, walk through a challenge you might be facing. As we move through the program, will be, hey, you're talking with a prospect, or you already have a client, you have this issue, anything. Everything's fair game here. So just don't feel that the questions need to be about something we're currently covering. If you want to go back to a question you have from 2 or 3 months ago, from a session we did way back then, that's fine. There's nothing here that says you have to stick with a certain theme. We don't have themes for these calls. Let's see. A couple other things, actually. So you can pre-submit questions as well. So I know some of you have a day job, or you may have a conflict sometimes with these calls. That's fine. But I still want to take care of you. So you can always pre-submit the questions by logging in to the student portal, go to B2B Launcher, and then click on the Q&A for that week. You'll see it. There's a left column with all the sessions and the Q&A calls. Just click on the appropriate call, and that'll take you to the call page, and you'll see a field where you can type in a question. You can do this way ahead of time. You can do this days ahead of time, by the way. So, you know, if you think of something and you know you're not going to be on the call in 2 days, for instance, you can just type it in, and I'll see it here, and I'll respond, and we're recording, which is my next point. We're recording these calls, and we'll actually provide you with a recorded replay within one business day. So tomorrow, by end of business, we'll have it. We'll send you an email just to let you know that it's uploaded, and you can always then go back and catch my response to your question. Or if you have to leave early, that's also a great time, a great opportunity to catch whatever you miss. So just jot down when you left in the call, 39 minutes into it, for instance, and then you can skip ahead and catch it where we left off. Okay, so that's Q&A calls, coaching calls, the forum. So the forum, I think most of you have introduced yourselves If you haven't joined the forum, send Crystal an email and she'll get you all set up, crystal@b2blauncher.com. The forum is a great place to have dialogue in between these calls. So you can ask questions, get feedback from me, and pretty soon we'll, in fact, this week we'll post a website copy review thread. With specific instructions on what to do if you want me to review your website copy once you're at that stage. We'll post that this week, and I want to encourage you to ask questions there. We'll have a weekly thread of questions, so just stick to that thread. So here's what Crystal will do is every Monday night she'll post a new thread for that week. And the reason we do it this way is if you post questions as a new thread, Facebook just kind of jumbles it all up. So then there'll be questions kind of everywhere, and if you're familiar with Facebook groups, they don't keep the posts or the threads in chronological order. I don't know how they make those decisions, but it's always, every time you log in or you go to the forum, it's a different order. So what we do is we keep them together in one thread. That way I know where to look for questions and answer them. Otherwise, I could easily miss them. So every week there'll be a questions thread. Just type in your questions there. I'll reply directly to you in that thread. And then Monday night, Crystal closes out that thread for the previous week, and she opens a new one for the next 7 days. So I'm in the forum at least every other business day. The only exception might be, for instance, holidays, vacations. Like I'll be out of pocket between Christmas and New Year's from the 26th through the 1st. Coming back on the 1st, so things like that. But that's the only time that I know I'll be out between now and April. There might be actually there's another. I'll let you know in advance, but I'll still be able to check every once in a while and just get back to you. One last thing, we're going to have a few more folks joining us here in the next couple of weeks, and they're actually going to get started in early January. So not really in a couple of weeks. So that's 3-4 weeks away. The advantage you guys have of getting starting now is you have a great head start because you're able to go through these first two sessions, let that stuff kind of marinate for a little bit, get extra time to think through it. They'll have to, I wouldn't say rush, but they'll have less time to go through that material and think through it. So you guys are at a great advantage here by being able to have access to this material now. And I encourage you, I can tell that many of you have already gone through it, thinking through it, taking action. I encourage you to use this time wisely, to go ahead, pace yourself, and go through those two training sessions, including the introductory session, by the way, the welcome session, and start thinking about your positioning, and then start working on your website copy from there. All right. So with that, let me go to the dashboard. Again, so if you have a question, *2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. Or, again, if you're on the webcast, you can just type in your question, and I'll see it over here. And I'll read it out loud and answer it. No one wants to go first. It's an open floor right now. While I'm waiting, let me go to the forum. Oh, wait a minute. We got Judith, I believe. Is this Judith?
Judy.
Judy, hey, how are you?
Hi. Good, how are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak with you, too. Thanks for being so responsive in my emails, like from the get-go. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you're able to make it.
Me, too. So I have been going through the first exercise, like a lot of people that I've seen on the Facebook group, and I explained to you, I really don't have a lot of business experience. I've been in the hospitality industry for 20 years, waiting tables, managing. I have an esthetician's license, so I did a little bit of that, and I do have some sales, like, from years ago. So I did do the exercise and asked, you know, friends and colleagues to write back to me and just say what my biggest strengths were. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting a lot of things like warmth, depth and just contagious personality and light up a room, kindness, compassion, things like that. I just don't know where to go with that in regards to a B2B strategy, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, okay. So here's the good thing about that exercise where you're asking people you know about your unique capability. That's, I would say that 90% of the time, it's not going to reveal a target market or a direction you should go on. What it can do is it can help clarify some things maybe, or it can add another dimension, or it could just make you feel great. So I think it's a good thing to do. I tell you, I did this a few years ago, and the biggest thing that I got immediately was just a big wow. I have no idea that people think like this of me, in a positive way. But then the other stuff they mentioned didn't really sink in for several months.
Okay.
And it's things started happening later that year that reminded me of some of the things my friends and colleagues said. And it just now it started to really kind of gel.
Okay.
So I do think it's a worthwhile exercise. But, yeah, I'm not surprised that it didn't reveal something directly.
Okay.
So here's what I would say. When you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of business experience, just look at what you do have in terms of work experience. So hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the other two?
I did management and hospitality, and I also had an esthetician's license. So I was a working esthetician for a couple of years doing skincare and waxing. And I do have some sales background as well. I sold beauty supplies, shampoo, hair color, things like that to salons. And for a while worked at MCI WorldCom like years ago and did some teleconferencing services.
And that's in sales?
Sales, correct.
Okay, so I would say out of all those, I mean, you could go in a couple different directions, but the one that kind of stands out to me is the sales.
Okay.
Maybe work with that. And just, can you say something about, listen, you don't have to, we all think that we don't have enough, right?
Right.
So I thought I had 11 years, but I thought, well, that's just, I mean, it's 11 years, but other people have 20.
Right.
So it's like it's never good enough when it's you.
Okay.
You need to kind of let go of that. You have more sales experience than many of your clients will have.
Okay.
So maybe something to play around with is, the fact that your sales background gives you a unique perspective when writing marketing content and copy because you've been on the other side. I mean, like you understand what it's like to be in front of that customer or that prospect. It's that perspective.
Okay.
That's actually one of the things that I use in my prospects were responding to that. They really,
mm-hmm.
like they got it.
Okay, thanks for that. I appreciate that. I'll try that angle and see what happens with it.
Yeah. So use that, and then here's what happens, Judy. It's this is a short-term thing. So you just need something that will help you get your first 2, 3, 4 clients. Once you get a few clients, I think you're going to start getting a clearer picture. Patterns will start developing, and you might at that point start pivoting a little bit. It's like, okay, I've had out of my first 4 or 5 clients, 3 of them are in this area, or 3 of them have asked me to, I've been writing this for them. And I really enjoy that. So now you're shifting a little bit and you're getting clearer and you want to maybe focus on that type of project or this type of angle. Maybe they're telling you, we really like this about you, so you're really highlighting that. So you need something to just get started, but your first few clients will help shed more light on this, and you'll get a clearer picture, if that makes sense.
Okay, perfect. And thanks for the newsletter last week on Friday that was sent out. It was really helpful. I have been doing some writing for a client, and it was just nice to see samples of what you had when you started. That was really positive, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I'm glad that was timed well. That really was what I walked into. I mean, most of my prospects were out of town, but the one I'll never forget was one. I actually went to his office, and I had this little pocket folder with printed copies of exactly what I showed you there.
Uh-huh.
And oh my, I was sweating like a farm animal. I just thought this guy is going to start laughing, you know, any moment now. And he said, "All right, well, here's what I got. Can you help me with this?" It's like, yeah. It was $1,100.
Nice.
You know, so it just, you just need someone to give you a chance.
Okay.
And just work with what you got.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate the help.
All right, Judy. Good talking to you. Okay, so again, star two, if you have a question, you want to talk through anything that we've covered so far, comments, anything. Anything's fair game here. I'm also going to look at the – we had some good discussions already started in the forum. By the way, I'll get used to everyone's number and name over time. My teleconference portal doesn't always give me the information. So, like right now, somebody has their hand raised, and it's a Savannah, Georgia number. So eventually I'll kind of connect the numbers and the area codes with the actual names, but just bear with me for a couple of months. All right, so we got a caller from Savannah, 912 area code. Who's this?
Yep, this is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
How's it going? I'm good. How are
doing
you?
Doing well. Are you really in Savannah?
I am. Well, I've been in Savannah for the past 10 years, and then last summer we moved to Richmond Hill, which is like about 15 miles south. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. And I have to, I've had
Savannah
in some groups, I've had people with a Hawaii number, but they live in Montana. They just lived in Hawaii 2 years ago, but they kept their number.
Yeah.
So
I'm still down here. Yep. So.
Cool. Well, welcome, neighbor.
Thanks. Yeah. So to piggyback a little bit off of Judy and the samples, I know you mentioned it's good to start out with like at least two or three samples, which I have because my day job right now is with an internet marketing agency. So I've done a lot of web copy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have plenty of examples of that, but that's a service that I would like to offer, but, you know, I want to offer other things too. So I'm just wondering, is it okay to have just two or three samples of web copy starting out, or do I need to, you know, try to have show something, you know, from a different type of project?
It depends on what you have. So do you have samples on the other two or three projects that you want to do more of?
No.
So just website copy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I would say just use that. again, that's another example of a short-term problem. Right now you have a gap there, but you know you can do it. Like, what would be another project that you really want to do?
Like white papers and case studies mainly.
Okay. So if you are confident or even semi-confident that you have the capability to do them, it's just a matter of, hey, I just haven't had an opportunity yet, then list them on your services page and don't worry about the gap. Everyone has that gap at some point. You just need someone to hire you for one of those, and suddenly that problem is solved. So eventually somebody hired me. I really wanted to do white papers. I had written in my sales job these reports. I didn't know what white papers were at the time, but I knew that I had to explain, I had to frame the problem differently that my prospects were having and position my software tool as a solution. So I conceptually I knew that. I just didn't know it was called a white paper. So I was writing these reports. But they weren't, I mean, they were Word docs, and they weren't that impressive, so I didn't want to use them as a sample. So I didn't have samples for white papers. But eventually, the way it happened for me is a client that had hired me to write a couple of brochures, somebody else in the marketing department contacted me because they knew that I was writing brochures for the company. They wanted to know if I could help them with a white paper. And their question was, do you have any samples you can send me? Their question was, can you help me with that?
Mm.
I said, sure. So you never know how it's going to happen. Just post whatever you have, and then somebody eventually will give you a shot. And then once you finish that, now you have a sample. And then, you know, now you have something you can post.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So, and in the meantime, you know, I would be studying just white paper and case study writing so that when you do get one, you have an understanding of how to approach them, and you have the material ready to go at your fingertips so you can use that as you work on the project.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I have been doing that.
Cool. Do you have Gordon Graham's book, The White Papers for Dummies?
I do. Yep. I bought it a couple of weeks ago, actually. Yep.
Yeah, that's a must-have.
Which,
by the way, I really think that book is, if you're looking to do, anyone here is looking to do a content marketing of any type, and I think most of you are, so meaning educational marketing in the way of articles, white papers, case studies, anything like that, that book really has some great material that could help you outside of white papers. So even if you're not interested in white papers, I think is great in terms of managing the project, working with the client. There's some great advice there.
Yeah, cool. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, getting into that mindset of these are short-term problems, as you like to say. So, just
yeah, it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. Yeah. But yeah, once you have it up there, then you'll feel a lot more confident. You just need someone to give you a chance. If they need to see samples of a white paper and that's kind of a deal breaker, then you know what? Here's what you need to tell yourself. That's not the right prospect for me right now. Notice I didn't say the right prospect, period. No, it's just at this moment, based on what they want to see, I don't have that. So if that's a deal breaker, that's okay. In 3 months, they might be a prospect for me. 3 months, 3 years, whatever. So you're just looking for the one who's okay with what they see right now.
Right. Cool. Awesome. So, thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, man. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, cool. So, again, star 2 on your telephone keypad raises your hand. I'll see your question. Or if you're dialing in with the webcast, and the webcast portion, meaning you're just listening to me through your computer speakers, you can always type in your question as well. Okay. All right, so I got a hand raised, but I have no information on this one. I think it might be a web call. It just shows blank. So anyway, whoever raised their hand, you're on.
Hello, Ed. Hello?
Hello. Who's this?
Hello. This would be Andrea from Italy. How are you?
Andrea, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's a great pleasure to finally talk to you.
Oh, well, likewise. What time is it over there?
Oh, it's 24 past 7.
So all right, so it's evening. I admire your dedication. It's supper time, and here you are.
Oh, yeah, well, I had a early dinner.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my question. It's about services, and of course, when I look for prospects, I offer writing as you know, marketing writing as primary service. But because I have a fair amount of knowledge in other, you know, related stuff like SEO, inbound marketing. I know how to use the HubSpot tool and stuff like that. Whenever I feel it's appropriate, I try to offer as a, you know, additional service that kind of stuff as well. And I was wondering if it's a good thing or not. I mean, am I actually increasing my chances by doing so, or maybe am I giving the wrong impression? Like, yeah, like any type of assignment, just give it to me and I'll do it, which is, of course, not what I want. So what's
sure.
your take on that?
Okay, yeah, it's a great question. Just before I give you an answer, though, can you give me an example? Like, what would be something that they would have contacted you for, and then upon learning about what they're doing, you would be tempted to talk about some of the other things you can offer them? So were they contacting you about a writing project typically?
Well, no, actually, I don't. I'm not at that stage yet where I get a lot of contacts. It's more me doing warm email prospecting. And what typically happens is that I notice, for example, that the website would definitely need a bit of optimization, for example, for SEO. Just like I'm talking about basic stuff, not hyper technical. Or maybe that I see that they're already producing some content, but they don't take advantage like of a lead generation thing, like putting up a contact form or to capture contacts and leads and this is the kind of stuff that I would tend to, in a soft way, but I would tend to, introduce in my prospecting.
Okay. So here's what I would do. If they contacted you about something specific, or if you send a warm email and they respond, and they're talking with you about this, let's say it's about SEO, SEO copywriting, then start the conversation with that and just continue the conversation with that. Now, if you see some other opportunities, as you're asking questions and getting more information from them, you might want to mention it, but don't try to upsell them there on the call. So you're talking about SEO copywriting. They need to revamp their website copy. SEO is a big issue for them. Ask some probing questions that might help you understand what they're looking for a little better and maybe uncover some other opportunities, but try to keep the conversation on the SEO copywriting as much as possible. Don't make them feel that you're trying to uncover more work that you can offer. Then in terms of what to approach, you could do two different things. You could keep it contained and just give them what they came to you for in order to get in the door and land that project. And once you deliver that project and you have built a little bit more trust, then you can talk to them about these other things, which is easier to do. Or the other option, which I also like, is when you send them your fee agreement, instead of just proposing the one deliverable, the project that they came to you with or that you discussed, give them three options. Option one will be the works. It will be everything. It will be the SEO, and it will be doing the some landing pages, some lead capture forms, whatever. So that is like the full Monty. Then option two is somewhere in the middle. It's a little bit less. And then option three is maybe what they originally came to you with.
Yeah, I actually tried that once and I have to say it went very well because in my quote we were talking about writing for the company blog and so when I sent my quote, I also had a second one with SEO and stuff like that, and it worked. They accepted. I'm not even sure that they read it. They read the quote, but they accepted the higher one. So
there you go.
More than
50% of the time they'll accept one of the higher options. Maybe not the highest, but maybe the middle one. So it's a way to show, and of course, in your quote, you have to explain the value of everything. But there's a little bit of psychology going on there. You're doing some price anchoring. And you're also showing them that you are more strategic, that you're not an order taker, that you have their best interests in mind as well. I'd say either approach works. This approach that we just discussed with the three options is a little bit more advanced. You have already been quoting work. You've already had a couple of clients, so you know you might feel more comfortable doing that. If some of you on the call are going, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to – how am I going to position myself, then don't worry about that for now. And just know that, hey, if you are in that situation, you can always just give the client exactly what they came to you for. And then once you're in the door, you can look for some other opportunities.
All right. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, great question.
Thanks. Thank you.
Great to have you here. All right. Got a caller from, it's a Cincinnati area code, 513 area code. You're on.
Thank you, Ed. My name is Holly, and I'm calling from my office at work.
Hey, Holly. How are you?
I'm just fine. I hope everyone on the call is fine, too.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. The thing that's got me, and I will tell you it has me just absolutely frozen, is I've made it to a niche. I've decided on B&B. I've got a value proposition thanks to everything in the two modules. And, you know, working on the web, and I'm really stuck on, I like to write case studies. I like to write white papers. I like to write all that medium form content, and would probably even go so far as to, I could probably do the short email autoresponder kind of things. But if somebody would ask me for SEO or whatever, I don't know anything about it. And I don't know if on my website I should just position myself as a case study writer or just one thing that on a blink test on that opening web page they know, hey, this is B2B education case studies. Yes, this is what I'm looking for. Or be more general.
Generally speaking, my advice is to not choose a project specialty at this point unless
okay.
There's a very good reason for you to do so. So let me give you an example. If your current job or your last job, you spent 6 years writing case studies because you were a staff writer and you just wrote a bunch of them and you've done so many, you could do this with your eyes closed, then that might be a reason to do it. But I think starting with a project specialty, it's too restrictive. So I would either name, you know, two or three project specialties or just keep it a little broader in terms of marketing content, B2B marketing content, such as white papers, case studies, articles, blog posts. That's one way you could do it.
Okay. Thank you for an answer.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about SEO. Don't mention SEO copywriting, for instance. I mean, if that's something that you're not familiar with, you're not sure if you'd want to do it, then don't talk about it. Don't
okay.
List it.
Thank you so much. I just feel relieved. I just feel relieved.
good. So the basic rule, and this is for everybody, is when in doubt, start a little broader. And then as you get out there and you start getting results, you can narrow things down. And you've heard my story. I think many of you were I said, well, first I started with I'll write anything for anybody, and that didn't get me anywhere. And then I said, okay, I write lead generation copy for high-tech companies. That's when my business changed because I was much more specific. Even though I just narrowed it down to tens of millions of companies all over the world, It was still much more specific than I'll write anything for anybody. And as I started getting more comfortable, as I started getting clients and started seeing what projects I could do well and I actually enjoyed, Then I started, over years, I narrowed it down to, okay, I write white papers, case studies, and articles for enterprise software companies. But I didn't start out that way. I made that decision only after years of experience and getting a much better sense for where the market was, where the demand was, what I enjoyed, what paid well, and what clients kept asking of me. So it's smarter to narrow down little by little than it is to start too narrow at the very beginning. That's a mistake that a lot of new freelancers make. Okay, so we got a caller from, it's a Calgary, Alberta number. You are on.
Hi, Ed. This is Dick Nichols from, we live just south of Calgary in a town called Okotoks. I've had a lot of experience.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've had a lot of experience putting together slide presentations for the energy industry, which is big up here. And I've thought about a market that would take, you know, the technical presentations that engineers, geologists, and geophysicists often give to their professional societies, and turning them into white papers that their companies can use in general to educate both the public, the government regulators, and other customers, to tell them, you know, what they're doing and give them sort of a sense of confidence that what they're doing is favorable to the environment, that they know what they're doing, and this type of thing. Regulators, as you know, in the energy industry can be real sticky, particularly in today's environment. I just wanted to get your opinion of whether that was a good marketing technique or something that you've ever done before, just to get a sense of whether that idea might be worth pursuing.
I think it's a great idea, and I know that you'll have takers on it, generally speaking, but where it would really help me decide as to whether or not you kind of position yourself that way right out of the gate would be where you have contacts. You said you have a lot of experience putting these presentations together, right?
Yeah.
Do you have contacts in that industry still?
I do, yes. Not only in that industry, but in the petrochemical industry as well.
Okay. That's good, because without the network, without some contacts, it would be just pure theory. In other words, you say, well, you know, I have experience and I think it would work, but then you'd have to go cold. And that's a tough road. So if you have contacts, I would feel much more comfortable positioning myself just to see if it works, by the way. I mean, there's no guarantee, but saying I work with, you know, energy companies, as an example, to help them turn their raw content in the way of presentations and this and that and the other into usable, powerful, persuasive white papers and articles that will do blank, that will do whatever.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a value proposition. You have experience doing it, and you have contacts. That really increases the chances that this will go somewhere.
Great.
And you see the difference, right? If you didn't have the contacts, it would be theory. Well, it sounds like they would take, but you don't know. So if you don't have a relationship with anyone in there, it's just a tough road.
Yeah.
And it's so specific that it could limit, in the meantime, while you're trying, it could limit your possibilities.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't thinking of this as the only thing that I would offer, but I was thinking as, you know, one of the two or three key services.
Yeah.
Because I'm also thinking about marketing content, the industrial marketing content, for instance, and as well as case studies, which are always good, particularly in the government relations environment.
Perfect. Yeah. So then the message I gave you earlier, you could just adjust it a little bit instead of being as specific. You can broaden a little bit based on what you just shared. But then in your services page, you know, you could highlight that, you could explain that particular offering in terms of your ability to
right.
turn that raw content, such as, you know, presentations into white papers, for instance.
Great. Thank you.
Sure, sure. And you know what, just thinking out loud here, you might even want to dedicate a page just to that offering if you think it's got legs, and it sounds like it does. So in other words, you have your services page, and then each of them you're just describing with maybe one sentence, which, by the way, this is something I see a lot when you guys get to your web copy. Don't feel like you have to explain every service and sell the idea. I see a lot of writers do that. So in other words, it's like a laundry list, and one of them is case studies. Case studies are stories that show how a happy customer used your product and service. They're effective because this and that and the other. You should have case studies. Don't do that. You're really, ideally, especially in the long run, you're trying to sell to prospects who already get that. So when they go to that page, you just want to see what you can do, what you're interested in doing. They don't need to be sold on the value of these things. So anyway, you have your services page, you have your list, maybe one sentence describing each, and then on the one you just discussed, maybe you have a little bit more, or you hyperlink it to a page that talks about it a little bit more in depth if you feel it's necessary.
Yeah.
And what that allows you to do is if you decide to use that as a way to kind of do your prospecting, to get in some doors, it gives you a link to a page that has a very specific offering, and it would keep the message in the focused on that page. And of course, in the email, you could also say, "Oh, and I also do this and that and the other." But you're kind of leading with something specific, which tends to be more attractive and effective than saying, "Hey, I can help you with all these things. Which one do you need?"
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like if you came to my house and I said, "Hey, just great timing. I just threw some burgers on the grill. Do you want one?"
Yeah.
It's a yes or no question, right? And you'll probably say yes, as opposed to, "Hey, are you hungry? I can make you something." You're probably going to say, "Oh, no, don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Because it was just too open-ended.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Great questions, guys. And very encouraging. You guys are really thinking through this stuff and taking action. I mean, this is a great time to do this, and having this extra time, I think, is important. So I'm glad you're taking advantage of it. Got a caller from the Denver area, 720 area code. Who's this?
That would be me. My name's Jack. Thanks so
hey,
much
Jack,
for your podcast,
how are you?
Dad. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Yeah, good to talk to you. Welcome.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm struggling with the inexperienced imposter syndrome thing, and unfortunately I may have more to back that with than most. I have no paid writing experience, no particular professional experience that can back me or contacts in any professional realm. So I'm trying to deal with that and overcome that first hurdle in whatever way I can, even if it's doing pro bono work or what have you. So I was hoping for your advice on that.
Yeah.
And then have some other questions that kind of go along with it. So, extreme inexperience. Does that put me on the Upwork level and trying to find unpaid stuff, or is there another way you might go about that?
No, not necessarily. We're going to get into that in some of the next few sessions because I'm going to give you a couple of options. I'm going to have you take just a very short quiz that will help you determine which way. But no, you're still okay. The way I see it is it's like a race, except that we're all starting at different points. We're not all starting at the official starting line. So some people, you know, as you can tell from the call, are starting kind of at the starting line. Some are starting a little bit ahead. You're going to start a little bit behind. Now, does that mean that you're not in the race? No, you're still in the race. So I would not quit or give up just because you're starting 20, 30 feet behind the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that you got a little bit of room to make up, a distance to make up. In terms of your contacts, until you said you have no professional experience to speak of.
Yeah, nothing that lends itself to writing whatsoever.
Okay, so what have you done, or what have you done recently? You know, I mean, I'm going blind here, so I'm just trying to give.
Yeah, things I have going for me is I have an associate's in renewable energy technology, and in this coming May, I will graduate with a BA in strategic communications. So yeah, I'm kind of centering in on that. Do you have some education that is working in my favor, hopefully?
So
I have a little bit of
graphic
design experience.
Okay, graphic design.
So that's allowed me to format writing examples in a more attractive and professional way than a Word document. So I think that's helpful, that I can format a slick white paper.
Perfect. What about before you went to school, what were you doing work-wise?
Barista work, and real bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
So I feel confident in my writing ability, but I don't have that many portfolio examples. And then when you are going to tell everybody to tap their contacts, and they're like, well, you know, there's probably like three people that have connections that might lend themselves to marketing writing. So yeah, starting
meaning
off,
that they meaning that they know someone or that they are in marketing.
Yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, I probably have like three or four relevant friends and family contacts who might have contacts in their life that would be needing any sort of marketing writing, especially in a B2B realm. So starting off low and slow there. How would you go about writing website copy or finding differentiators? Because all the differentiators I'm coming up with are soft skills. It's like I'm on time, I'm, you know, punctual, hardworking, communicative. Is there angles you take to write web copy that are, I guess, it's going to be pretty vague, but I'm hoping to find an angle that isn't deceptive, but at the same time can place some strengths despite that inexperience?
Well, yeah, you just work with what you got. So renewable energy, right? You're getting your degree on that. And then communications?
Yeah, I have an associate's in renewable energy tech, and then I'm getting a strategic communications degree in May.
Strategic, okay, perfect. So that would be one that I would work with. Start there.
Okay.
Is it strictly academic? Sure. But hey, it's something, you know, and just start with that. Now you could do a couple of things. You could leave it open in terms of whom you can help, and just use this as your kind of one of your specialties or your strength, or you could just decide to focus on energy companies, for instance. In terms of what other have you taken any courses on copywriting or content marketing, anything there?
Not exactly. Strategic communications kind of beats around the bush of copywriting and you know, promotion strategy and that kind of stuff. But
okay.
No, nothing completely copywriting centered. I could probably run out and grab some certifications there in some way, content marketing certification, yeah, something like that. But no, I haven't had any copywriting focused schoolwork.
No, and that's fine. You don't need to go out and do that. I'm just looking to see if there's anything there as well. So here's where you're probably going to end up starting. More than likely, you're going to have to do, you know, two or three projects pro bono.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very quick way to get some samples, get a little bit of confidence. Get some activity going. Usually those things end up leading to others. So it's a good way to keep moving and just get the ball rolling. And you could either use your contacts, you could get creative in your local metro area. You know, the article I posted on Friday, I believe I was explaining there that, hey, I went to a small business online forum, and I contributed, you know, some answers to some people. So I joined the conversation, right? And then I posted this offer. Hey, so here's the deal. I'm new. So I didn't know anybody there. Talk about going cold. Essentially said, I need some samples. I know I'm confident in what I can do, but I need some samples. I'm willing to do 3 pro bono projects, and here's some examples of what I can do for people who need it. I had 22 responses in a day.
Wow.
I was able to pick the top 3. So you could do something like that as well. And then what that will do is it'll give you, you know, some samples. It will boost your confidence a little bit. It might give you some direction as well.
Okay.
But,
I would
go with a pro bono route. But we'll talk more about that later, so don't have to worry about that. Now, in the meantime, I would just keep it kind of general and just use your education to kind of bolster that as a kind of the foundation in terms of proof points and credibility.
Yeah. So. Okay, I'll try to play that out for my web copy, and then also LinkedIn profile, because that's looking pretty flimsy. Try to play those educational strengths that are applicable to what I want to be doing. And then my other question regarded target market and niche, and I'm in the Denver area, and I'm wondering if you think that the cannabis industry would be a good area to head into, definitely narrowing things down and might rule out some other opportunities, but I have no moral objections there, and it's expanding quite quickly, and I have a lot of potential for local contacts, so I've been considering that as well and wondering what your thoughts are on that potentially.
Man, I know that is like the Wild West right now. Everyone's paying attention to it, and
just that aspect of it really excites me. That it's Wild West, exactly. I've used that term before.
It's like the .coms in '97,
98.
So I think there's something there. The good thing about that is, we're just talking about the pro bono and the approach that I took. I would think that with that industry, you would have more opportunities to find very quickly 3 potential pro bono clients in your local area, which are easier to get. I went online. Online is harder because they can't see you. So that might be something because, look, if you focus your pro bono efforts there – unlike what I did, the 3 pro bono clients that I found were not in the software industry. It was an author, an advertising company, and I forget who's the third one. So I ended up with samples, but they were not related to the target market that I was going after. In this case, you could end up with 3 samples very quickly, and then you can start going after that industry. You see what I'm saying? So it's congruent. It gives you a good footing.
Yeah, all right. That sounds hopeful. Yeah, would you list that on a website would you niche down right there on the website that deed? Because I imagine it will preclude some other opportunities. Or that there's still some taboo there, though less and less. Would you list it on a website?
At this point, you have nothing else other than the education. So if it were me, I'd be more inclined to list that and then go after it with the pro bono opportunities, see where that takes you, and if you start feeling good about the possibilities, then leave it there. If you realize, it sounded good on paper, but because of this or that and the other ended up not working out, you can always adjust your copy. It's not like once you have your website out there, you're doomed.
Yeah, that's what I'm realizing is you can adjust copy on a website. It's very easy to do. So
So it's not like you have a printed book and it's out on all the Barnes and Nobles and it's like, oh man, what was I thinking?
Okay. All right. I'm really not sure how I'm going to write that copy, and I feel like I don't have much to go on there, but I'll take a crack at it, and it sounds like we're going to have a Facebook forum throughout. So,
get
some traction on that.
Here's the good thing. With that industry, you don't necessarily need to say, I have all this experience in the cannabis industry.
Uh-huh.
With that, because it's so hot, just – saying that you're focused there, I think might be.
Yeah.
Because again, well, you're not trying to sell. What you're trying to sell right now is a pro bono opportunity.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I'll need a couple, at least two, probably, assignments. But I do have some writing samples that are not published work. Yeah, everybody's kind of new to that industry, so it's kind of a pivot point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate your insight.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure, Jack. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool. All right. I think, let's see, this is Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey. I just wanted to chime in real quick on that because I actually made a decision that I was going to focus in the cannabis industry as well.
There you go. We got two of you.
So, yeah, I don't feel quite so alone. I'm kind of glad he broke the ice on that, to be honest. I wasn't sure. But I'm with him. I have no moral reservations there. In fact, I think there's a lot of positive medical benefits. And the only thing I've been really thinking through and doing a lot of research in is trying to see what the opportunity in the B2B, you know, market there is, if it's grown enough to where there are some well-established, B2B companies that are, you know, doing stuff with the medical for dispensaries or doctor's offices or, you know, so I don't know if you have any, if you've thought about that or, but again, you know, I know the potential there and that it's only going to become a bigger and bigger industry. You know, we all see where it's going nationwide. So I think it's just waiting to explode. And, you know, that again was my thought too. If I establish myself in that industry early on as a writer in that industry, you know, it could be kind of like getting on the ground floor.
So I don't have any insights for you because, honestly, I don't know anything about it. I'm not against it. I just don't really know. In fact, the first exposure I got to the fact that this is massive was 2 months ago when I met with an old buddy of mine, and his brother is put basically everything he has into this. He has put all his chips, bet it all. Because he thinks it's going to be that big, and he's positioning himself as a consultant, and apparently it's starting to pay off. But I had no idea, you know, that this was like massive business. That's how clueless I am. I'm just a boring, like, dad living in suburbia. I have no clue. So I wish I could give you more insight, but there's got to be massive business-to-business elements to this because it's not, you know, anytime you have an intermediary. So in other words, I would believe that it's not the grower selling directly to the consumer. I mean, in fact, I know that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So you have a supply chain, and in that supply chain, there are many different players. So it's not just the product itself, but then there is regulatory issues. So that means there's going to be consulting companies coming in to help you with the regulatory issues because the compliance part of it is so complex and there's so much paperwork. And so it's going to be technology that helps you automate that, checks and balances, consulting companies. There's going to be equipment, I'm sure. So all that is B2B. What exactly that is, that's what I don't know. But just like in any industry where there's a physical product, especially if it's regulated. See, that right there, regulation adds the complexity element that we talked about in session one. Remember I said, hey, anytime you have something new, expensive, and complex, those are really good indicators. So regulation is, it's right there that adds complexity.
Right.
And of course, expense. So if I were you, and you're probably already doing this, I would read everything I can about this. And again, it's a wild, wild west, so everything's changing very fast. But there's tons being published right now on this. So I think spending a couple of days reading up on it will really get you what you need.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, cool. Yeah, I was just kind of excited that someone else was thinking the same thought.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys can collaborate too. I mean, feel free. Look, keep in mind, this industry, what I love about freelance copywriting. It's not like your cutthroat competitive industry. Like, I grew up in businesses that I would never collaborate with a competitor. You just didn't do it. There is so much room here for everybody that there's no reason why, you know, you should. Even myself in my coaching business, I mean, I had lunch with a competitor on Friday, and I helped them out with a bunch. I gave them a bunch of ideas. To me, you know what? There's plenty out there for everybody. You know, somebody's going to hire them. They probably are not a good fit for me, or they prefer him to me. It just, same thing with writing, and especially in an industry that's going to grow like this, there's plenty of room for everybody. So you guys shouldn't feel like, oh man, somebody else is in on it.
Took my idea.
I guess there's no opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, and especially with the rate at which it's growing, I mean, there's plenty of room for everybody.
There you go. So this is a first. I've never had any cannabis industry copywriters.
Well, there you go. There's the first.
All right. Well, keep us posted, Jeremy and Jack. Interested to hear how you guys end up developing this. Jack is back with his hand raised. Hey, Jack, you're on.
Hey, I'm on. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's I'm sorry, there's bad noise around me in a building with the lights out and the alarm system's beeping. But okay. I just wanted to say that there are a lot of opportunities for business to business apart from sales, and a lot of technical products that are being sold in $2 million lumps as larger companies establish greenhouses that need lighting systems, ventilation systems, CO2 production systems. So there's a lot there, and I'm interested to hear that Jeremy's doing this too. Hi, Jeremy. Maybe I'll connect to you on Facebook. I think it's pretty viable, so it's interesting to hear somebody else doing it too. And that's it. I was just saying that there are a lot of sales of technical products happening there.
Excellent. Well, this will be cool. It'll be interesting. I'll learn from you guys as much as the other way around. So, all right. So I'm going to go to a couple people who submitted questions while we're talking here. Patricia and Diane. Let me start with Patricia. Patricia asks, "What's the best way to find local B2B prospects in my area?" So we're going to, and then she asks, "What B2B publications do you recommend reading?" So the first question. We're going to get into that in more detail, Patricia, so I wouldn't worry too much about that right now. There's several ways you could do it. I would also argue that you don't necessarily have to stick to your area. In fact, I'm going to encourage you, depending on how you end up positioning yourself, to go beyond that and not really think about your area specifically, because location is not necessarily a differentiator. I know that's, you know, it sounds like it would be, but it isn't most of the time. So in other words, I'm going to stick local because I can say that I'm a local writer. That's not really going to be your strongest differentiator or your leading angle. It's going to be something else. So don't worry, we're going to get into prospecting. For now, I would say, look, just focus on determining your positioning. How are you going to position yourself, and then writing your web copy, and then in terms of where to look for clients and how to look for them, we'll get into that in a lot more detail. Believe me, we're going to spend quite a bit of time prospecting. In terms of what B2B publications do I recommend reading, there's a couple. Content Marketing Institute has a great blog. I think they publish daily. Just go to Content Marketing Institute. com, and not only will you find some excellent research, they have a few reports that come out every year, especially the state of the content marketing industry. That's a fantastic report. I would read that and study that material. Marketing Profs, as in marketing professionals, marketingprofs.com, also has good content in the B2B arena. And then Marketing Sherpa is another one, marketingsherpa.com. They publish quite a few newsletters, but they have one on B2B that you may want to check out. So when you opt in, make sure to check out the B2B newsletter. And they publish case studies. They have some really good stuff. There's more than that, but those are three to start with. And just by reading those, you will get ideas in some other publications, because they'll reference other publications and other research, and then that will kind of lead you to other down other paths. HubSpot, by the way, that just remembered HubSpot. HubSpot, so they're a software company, but they publish some excellent content in research. So HubSpot.com would be another one to subscribe to. And these are all free, by the way. All right, Diane's question was, I have a background in working in customer service years ago and then transitioned into working as a librarian for public health nonprofits. I have set up two libraries from scratch and have a lot of experience writing very neutral document summaries, like tapioca neutral. I'd like to branch away from the public health field that I know well and from nonprofit work, but does it make more sense to start out in a field I know rather than try to branch out? Okay, great question. Generally speaking, I find that you're better off starting with what you know and then gradually pivoting and moving away from that. It's a safer bet. Here's why. It's critical that you get results as quickly as possible. If you don't get results, you know, in a matter of 2, 3, 4 months, the chances of you quitting are much higher, and you don't want to do that. So you really, all of us need that kind of motivation. You want to see quick wins, and your highest probability of quick wins, it's going to be in what you already know. So start there and get going. That's going to get the ball rolling, and then as you get going, you can always pivot into other areas. I've also found that many times when you go start in a field or in a topic outside of what you already know because you think it sounds interesting, or maybe it's a side passion or a personal passion, that's based on theory. You don't really know. You have no contacts there. All you know is that you're passionate about it, and the chances of success are lower there. So if you start there, you don't have the factors in place to really create some good activity early on. You can always develop that later. So start where you are right now, and I know that it's not necessarily exciting. You're trying to get away from it, but based on what you shared with me, it sounds like the best place to start. It's going to give you the fastest results, and then you can always move gradually from there. Okay, so again, if you're on the phone and you have a question, star 2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand, star 2. Great questions, guys, by the way. It's good stuff. And I wanted to remind you again, open forum in our online forum. You can always ask questions there. We'll have a thread every week. And you can always ask your questions there. I'm there every other business day at least, and we'll get back to you there. So we're going to post a weekly Q&A thread there, and we're also going to post the website copy review thread with specific instructions. So once you're at that point, you're welcome to submit your website copy, and I'll get that reviewed for you. All right, Jeremy, you're on.
Hey, Ed, just quickly, so I know you mentioned there will be a specific forum for website copy review. So there is a specific window in which you're going to review website copy, or if we have it done, you know, like...
Oh, no, yeah, anytime. Yeah, that thread will be there. We'll post it here in a few days. It will be there through the end of April.
Oh, okay, great. So
yeah,
we'll just use that,
but obviously the sooner the better, right? You don't want to submit this in late April.
Right. No, I'm asking because I'd already been working on a website prior to, you know, starting this, and then now going through the first two modules has helped me really, you know, that's when I had the epiphany of the cannabis thing. So I already had something to work with, and I've just been doing some edits. So I might be a little bit ahead of the game.
Okay. Okay, yeah, we'll get – I'm going to get with Crystal. We had it on schedule to post next week, but we're going to go ahead and post it this week.
Okay.
And it'll have – just make sure to go through the step. There's certain things that I'm going to ask for. So all the instructions will be right there on that thread. And what I'll do is give me 3 to 4 business days. I'll get back to you with a video screencast review of your copy.
Wow, awesome. Okay.
Look forward to seeing it. All right. Again, star 2 if you have a question. Star 2 on your telephone keypad. All right, I don't see any more questions. I'll give you guys another few seconds just in case. So we'll go ahead and wrap up since there are no more questions. This is great, guys. Look, you're doing exactly what you should be doing. You're going through this material. You're thinking through it. Just focus on this stuff for now. Don't worry about prospecting yet. We'll get to that. And if you haven't started, don't worry. Just, you know, go through this material as soon as possible. You have a head start from the rest of the group who's not going to get started until January 3rd. And the good news is even then you'll have a little bit more time. So you don't have to get this done before Christmas, before the new year. Just giving you guys extra time to think through this, ask questions. Getting your website live, for those of you who don't have a website yet, there's several steps to that, as you can see, depending on which way you're going to go. And having that extra time can be really helpful. So I would budget your time accordingly, pace yourself. Keep in mind that this is one of those things in life, like moving from one house to another, it always takes longer than you think it will. I don't know why. Like, why does moving take so long? You think it's going to take 8 hours to move everything, and it takes 16. It's weird. So it's the same thing here, especially getting your website up. It always takes longer, even if you're going through an easy route like a website builder. So budget accordingly. Just figure that it's going to take you twice as long to get it done, but we'll be here. Crystal is going to start joining me soon in some of these calls to answer any technical questions regarding your website, if you have any. And, of course, we're available in the forum. So any questions between now and next call in January, post them there, and we'll get back to you with answers. So great to have everyone in the group. Excited to work with you, and I'm excited about what you've done so far. You guys have a great rest of the day. And, again, we'll post the replay recording by tomorrow in the student forum. Take care, everyone.